Love Talk Radio.
This thing right here, is for my people in the streets.
Yes, today.
All right, welcome to another edition of One Mic Here on Real Sports Guys. This is your man, D. Wills. We're in the building. We got a lot to talk about today, but before I get into it, I got to bring my co-host into the building with me. We're going to start with my man, the old schooler, the man in the paint. It's good when you give it to him. Yeah, he's wearing that hat, my man, Hank Davis. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother. It's good to see you all this evening, and happy tax day. Who would ever thought we'd be talking about tax day in July? But this is where we're at in this world that we're living in right now, this crazy new normal that everybody want to talk about. But we're able to have a little bit more time to fellowship and to converse, if you will.
All right. Yes. We love to fellowship. We love to engage with folks. We love to have that. We got next on the mic, our man, Carl Hampton, who is in a secret location somewhere in Madison, away from all the protests. He's underneath somewhere. He's barreled in because it's crazy out there. They're shooting in the streets in Madison. I don't know what's going on. You know, what happened? This ain't...
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Man, I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, you like you sequestered, but we're going to work with you all right tonight. We're going to work with you while you sequestered. We're going to make it work. And we got the last but not least, my man, Darnell Kirkland Jr. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Everything's on up and up. So ready to get this show on the road.
All right. We're going to move into the show right away. But I always say, hey, go to Real Sports Guys for everything. Real Sports Guys. Darnell and I have a boxing moment coming out here pretty quickly. So you'll be able to see that. So check it out at Real Sports Guys. We've got some other stuff coming on. Got a great interview coming up with Ryan Harris, who is a Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos and author and former Notre Dame Fighting Irish football player, storied career, but doing some amazing work right now on the media, and also what he's trying to do to also deal with financial literacy as well. So he's got a lot to talk about. So check us all out on realsportsguys.com. Hey, some things are working in sports. There's some models that are working. And so in our cipher, in about 15 minutes, we'll be talking about the sports models that are actually working in the midst of a pandemic. And we'll get into that. But there's a lot of stuff happening in the world of sports. And so we're going to get into that in our open mic. And kind of the theme of our open mic has kind of been the power to the people. We want to be in alignment with the movement. We don't want to be like Carl, have to hide underneath somewhere in Madison. the movement is crazy. He's trying to weave and get home. We're going to embrace the movement right now. But in a year, black quarterback, Dak Prescott is still not signed. What is going on? What is going on? Hank, we're going to jump to you first, man. What is going on in Dallas?
You know, I don't know if this is a power play by Dak. The rumor had it they had offered him a multi-year contract. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he decided not
to sign. 5 years.
Years. Okay. Dak needs to take his money and run. Okay. It's clear. The reason why I'm saying this is because the NFL stands for not for long. All right. And I know what they might be thinking that he's worth, but there is a contingent down there in Big D that don't like him. Okay. They don't like him, and they're looking for some reason to replace him. Damn the stats. This ain't got nothing to do with statistics. We can talk about that all day long. But he needs to go ahead and get his money while the money is to be got. Now, the thing is, if he does that, he's going to be playing for his next contract. But he's looking for a Pat Mahomes type of contract when he ain't won nothing. And see, it's real easy for them to put – and the thing that bothers me is they're putting a lot on Dak, okay? But he's got what I call a decent contract for him. But Dallas, they do crazy stuff, see? They didn't want to get rid of Tony Romo. They do a lot of stuff because of loyalty or buddy-buddy stuff down there that kind of got me concerned. So if I'm him, I'm taking that money and I'm gone.
So he's expected with the $31 million this year, possibly another, 38?
Yeah, 38, yeah.
In next year.
That's not chump change. That's right. Not chump change.
So we're going to go, Darnell, what do you think, youngin? I know you're paying attention to this.
Hey, he's playing the game. That's all it is. Don't hard fan, look at your business. It's business when the owners play hardball, so it's business when the players play hardball, too. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, they did offer him a deal. I mean, it wasn't a bad deal, but it's not the deal he's looking for. But if you in the game of football, like Hayes said, it's not for long. So when you are in the position of power to use your leverage, I guess you just got to use it because he's going to end up making his money one way or another. Even if the Dallas Cowboys do not decide to if they don't decide to take him, he's going to sign the franchise next year for $38 million. And after that, he's going to come to Detroit. He's going to go to Indianapolis. He's going to go to another team. Somebody's going to pay him if Dallas don't pay him. It all depends on what does Dak want. He is in the position of power. Either he wants to stay in Dallas and stay because they're building a team around him. They have drafted well. They put a lot of good pieces around him. So he either wants to look at that and say, okay, this is a situation I want to be in. I'll take less money. Or he's going to go to an Indianapolis or Detroit or another team without a quarterback that will spend more money on
him. All right, Hammer, you bring up the rear. What do you think? What's your analysis?
I think it's one of the dumbest moves I've seen. We're in the midst of a global pandemic with a dangerous virus. You better get your money. Let's say he gets sick tomorrow. I know these contracts got corona clauses and things like that. He's not going to get his money. So playing this game, talk about he wants 4 years because he wants more flexibility. Same. Again, you have all these players who have gotten COVID. He had a party that was very controversial that Zeke was at, and Zeke got it. And then people don't know about how this virus affects you. Every day you see something different about the virus. And so I would take the money. I mean, he is being dissed by Jerry Jones. Let's be real, but they would give him what he wants if he's really their franchise quarterback. I don't think they would see him as a franchise quarterback. They pay everybody else. Jalen Smith, Zeke. I mean, you're going to pay a running back. Big money who's – you talk about not for long, brothers. That's not for long as a running back. Especially with Zeke. And someone who had off-the-field history, suspended, now got COVID. Clearly I would take the money, but, you know, he's getting bad advice, Dak is, and he's trying to play a Kirk Cousins game. But this isn't 2015, brother.
This ain't the time.
No, it's not. This is 2020. It's 2020. And like I said, you got people – come my relatives passed with COVID. COVID ain't no joke. And people have been trying to, you know, say it's going to go away. It's going to disappear. His money's going to disappear. And also, people talk about those cap numbers. D. Wills, we don't know how the financial situation is going to be. Let's say it's not football this year. That cap number is going to be reduced substantially. So you're really playing games, right? And then let's say, I have some friends tell me we might get a vaccine to 2023. So he's playing games. I mean, I respect the brother. I like the fact he came with it. His mom passed, he brought it, but this is not a good decision. Take your money like Chris Jones did yesterday. Get your money. And these other cats who are playing on tags too, haven't signed a tag. I'm like, what world are you in? Did they think they're indestructible? I mean, again, people are coming in with this COVID, man. It's 23, 24. It's nothing to play with. Get your money.
Get your money is the message, y'all. Get your money. Inside the bubble, on other stores, inside the bubble, you know, NBA has been talking about jerseys in the back of the name. You got LeBron coming out, talking about no name. You got your former Chicago Bull. I mean, you're talking about putting his name on the back of the jersey and AD keeping their name on the back of the jersey, not having a symbolic name or whatever on the back of the jersey. Then you got your former Bull out there saying he don't want his name on the back at all. You know, guys are choosing different ways to look at this. NBA got people snitching. You know, NBA got a lot going on here, but you got the name gate, you got the jersey gate, you got all the symbolism going on. Darnell, when you hear just what's happening in the bubble with jerseys, with folks snitching, which I say snitch, I think to me that's been the second level of COINTELPRO for you historians, black community folks talking about not snitching. I think that's been a way to perpetuate. But I'm going to leave. That's a whole other story. We'll talk about that later. But Youngin, talk about what you know, names, jersey symbolism. What's going on?
So the first part about the jerseys, I'm with Kawhi. I agree 100% with what Kawhi said. He said it has nothing to do with the name on the back of the jerseys, all this symbolism and stuff like that. It's all about the work. Kyle Korver putting Black Lives Matter on the back of his jersey. If LeBron did the same thing, that's not really going to bring about real change. It's about the real pressure you guys are putting on these government officials to make change, like Kenny Stills did. Kenny Stills, he got arrested at the Breonna Taylor protest because he was along with the people that refused to leave. So that that's kind of stuff being out there on the front lines that's gonna be more impactful. I don't know, but that's just my opinion.
All right, Hank.
Look, the NBA has tried to be one of the most progressive leagues in regards to really getting out social issues, you know, either with some sort of protest. And Silver, the commissioner, has been okay with that to a certain degree. You're going to have the Orlando bubble. And I'm with everybody else. You know, a lot of the stuff that's going on really does not make a whole lot of change. You can paint Black Lives Matter on every street in America. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference. You can take down every Confederate statue that you want to, you know, unless you're going to really, you know, have real change somewhere legislatively, then it's all just symbolism. But that being said, we are in a time where, you know, symbolism matters. You have people that are locked in their home. You have people that if and when the league start to play, they're going to probably have more eyes on it than ever before. So I am not opposed to any sort of display of social, you know, unity that the NBA is trying to do. You know, it's going to draw attention and it's going to stir conversation. And if that's what they're trying to do, now if they're just trying to draw attention to themselves, which athletes and entertainers have a tendency to do, then you got another issue there. But I understand the concept of getting this out there because they're going to be watched by more eyes than they probably ever have before.
All right, Hammer, your boy Butler said he don't want a name on the back of his jersey. He's going to be X. But you know, in terms of I know, along the same lines here, you know, what's been your reaction to what you've been seeing with the NBA and you know, there is an essence around marketing and branding, right? If you see something more than 21 times or something like that, that it sticks. So there is a marketing aspect around really sealing something in from a marketing standpoint that I can see. But from substance, some of you guys have been correct. Hampton, I want you to weigh in before we move on.
Yeah, I just think, again, Brother Hank as well as Brother Danielle talked about it. It's all symbolism and not real change. So we need to have systemic change from, again, our systems of government, our judiciary, that's going to emphasize Black Lives Matter and emphasize what they're doing, not playing games with Kyrie Irving about what's on the back of the jersey and not putting stuff in the back of the jersey. And someone like Kyle Korver, who thinks he's, you know, woke now, putting Black Lives Matter's jersey, it's a bunch of mess. I mean, the bottom line is that you look at Black wealth hasn't changed, brothers, in like 50 years. We had the same amount of wealth that we had 50 years ago. That's a shame. That's unconscionable. And so we've had all this symbolism, all this, you know, we shall overcome and things like that. And we need systematic change on every single level of government from the top down. People don't realize that. They think it's all about the federal government because that's what they see on TV. But what's happening on the local level, the school board level? We just hired a brother in Madison. A brother who, you know, I'm proud of, is a Badger. Worked in Beloit to be our superintendent of schools. And I want him to be a symbolic because he's a brother like me. I want him to bring change. Make sure these young brothers know how to read. These young brothers can't read in Madison right now.
They can't read past third grade level. So talk about Black Lives Matter, and your kid can't read, and then he's on his way to the criminal justice system. That again, that makes no sense. So symbolism without substance makes no sense. And so that's the thing that these NBA brothers just, I mean, they're privileged. They're just indifferent. They're complaining about their hotel rooms. Are you serious? When people are homeless right now? When people are not going to be able to pay their mortgages next month unless the Congress comes with a new CARES Act? And people are talking about my arrangements aren't good? Are you serious? I mean, they're playing, again, games with the brand. And like I said, this whole nonsense has just been from Blake, our brother Blake Snell talking about he didn't want to take a pay cut. And they just show again just how tone deaf they are from the circumstances a lot of them came from, which was hood and which was struggling. They've forgotten with their means, forgotten who they are as Black men, most of them.
Y'all hitting some really good points here.
I want to add one thing to what I said.
Go ahead.
Because Carl, he touched on a good point about making change at the local levels as well. When I said Kenny Stills, I don't think I elaborated completely about that, because the Attorney General in Kentucky, right? That's where the Breonna Taylor murder happened.
He's a black man.
He's a Black man. He said that he will not be persuaded by the things people are saying pertaining to the case. So that's why Kenny Stills, along with 87 others, were arrested, because they were protesting outside of his home.
I think we're bringing out some good points. And I think, again, I think that's part of LeBron's point, is about substance. He don't need to put on a name, because his name stands for substance. Everything he's done, you know, from schools to – he's going to continue to do what he needs to do. He's going to stay focused in this. And I think that level of being focused is an important point that we can't miss in this, that, you know, the focus on policy changes are critical to the success that we need to have around this. So, you know, I think that, trying to maintain that is important. All right. So Deion's son decides to go to Florida Atlantic University. All these cats been talking. And he's going over to play with Willie Taggart. It's a big announcement. He's like the 41st ranked player in the country. That's a huge thing. But again, he's coming from a well-to-do family, able to make those kind of decisions. But I still think it's an important move. You know, Willie Taggart, who was at Florida State, you know, that was Deion's alma mater. He got fired, right? He moves on to Florida Atlantic University, and now he secures him. Again, these guys making choices. And one of his things he said, he wanted to play for a Black head coach. He said, incredible announcement. If you had a chance to watch the video when he rolled it out, he had a who's who up there asking where he's going. It was incredible video there on YouTube if you had a chance to check it out. Darnell, I know you linked in these kind of things. Are we starting to see it? You know, you're talking about a new form of student athlete who's been informed by guys like LeBron and all these other folks coming together. When you heard that announcement, what did you think?
A big part of me was puzzled, to be honest with you, because I know he was offered by Alabama, Baylor, Arizona State, big schools like that. So, and he chose to play at Florida Atlantic. And this is a bold move. Like, I know we talked about HBCUs in the basketball game, right? But football is a different game. One player does not a football teammate, as we know. It's going to be tough sledding to start winning football games at Florida Atlantic, especially with a coach in Willie Taggart that, let's say, did not have the best success at Florida State when he was there. But honestly, I did not necessarily have the best chance as far as tenure goes, but we'll see how it goes in Florida Atlantic. I don't want to throw too much dirt on it, but I hope the best for him. But it's going to be a tough road, I think.
Yeah, and I think you know, having Willie Taggart, who, you know, he had a struggle at Florida State. He did all right at Oregon, but Willie knows offense, and so I think that had a lot to do with with the decision as well, that, you know, Willie does have a history, at least, along preparing quarterbacks. Hank.
It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick.
Come on.
I told y'all before, this is a gimmick. You got all these kids that's got some, they coming from these families. They got this name. Okay. So now you got Deion's son going to Florida Atlanta. Now, one thing about Willie Taggart, he was not given a fair shake at Florida State, in my opinion. Okay. They wanted him out the door. When he came in the front door, they had the back door open for him. You know, so that was the way it was. That's the way it was. Y'all saw it. Y'all saw it. Now you seen there's some coach. I mean, look at Scott Frost over in Nebraska. He's doing a horrendous job. Willie Taggart came in, he felt the breeze from the back door walking in the front door. So they had him ready to leave when he got there. Okay. They said to him, Willie Taggart that followed Florida State, they said, nothing's too good for you here. We wanted to get you nothing, but it was too good for you. So that's what's going on with Willie Taggart at Florida State. But this is a gimmick, okay? The reason why I'm saying is because with football, okay, if it don't work out for Deion's son in Florida Atlanta, they got the transfer for it. So a lot of this stuff is bravado to me, you know, and it's like, oh, he's doing this, oh, he's doing that. That's just to get him a little bit more play time, air time. I hope it works out for Willie Taggart. I really do. I think he's a good coach. I think he did a nice job at Oregon. I don't think he was given a fair shake. But this is gimmicky thing is what's driving me crazy here. I want to see if this kid stays 3 years at Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, we saw this thing with Cam Newton's little brother, Caleb Newton. He went to Howard, and he just transferred out this past year, and he's going to Auburn.
That's what I'm seeing here. You get all the press, and then next thing you know, you're in Alabama. So that's the thing that concerns me.
All right, Hammer, we're going to let you close out that one.
This is a gimmick. I mean, Deion's son has the opportunity to go anywhere he wants to and then transfer where he wants to. And he'll have the opportunity to get in the league because of Deion's contact. And Deion works for the NFL Network, for God's sake. So it's just a gimmick. I mean, I'm a Willie Taggart fan. I like him. Comes from the Stanford tree. The Florida State job was a disaster for him. He should have stayed at Oregon. Oregon had he wanted to get down south. Florida State wanted a black coach. They thought they had a marriage. And then as soon as he started losing, like Hank said, they had his bags packed before he got there. And his household, you know, as soon as he got there. So it's just, again, a gimmick by Deion. And you know, transfer to Florida State or whatever. But we might even have football. So, again, it might be a moot point anyway. So, considering the way Rona's going, so yeah, so that's all what right. My two cents.
We're going to stay tuned. We're about to enter the cipher and get here deep. Sports, hey, we talked about the pandemic. We talked about what's not happening. But there have been some sports models that have been effective. I mean, the UFC, Dana White's been killing this thing. Dana White's killing it. As the youngin pointed out, you know, the most recent fight with Masvidal and Usman, they doubled what they did in terms of the Wilder fight, but it's been a pleasure to watch. Now, I wish he would try to add in some of the top rank cheering piece. I like that little app, yelling boo, boo, boo. I think it's all he got to add in, but he got Fight Island. He's winning. I just watched the basketball tournament. Man, your boy Travis Diener hit the game winner for $1 million. I mean, they got through 2 weeks of hoop. The affection rates were down. I mean, they had a system in there. It was fun basketball to watch. I enjoy watching it. They were killing it. So you got some folks who are kind of working through this. Now, the MLB, NFL, some of these large sports, you know, there's different levels of expectation about what will happen and what not happen. But what I want to ask y'all in this cipher, though, if you could be a commissioner of a sport that's outside of baseball, NBA, I want to say college football, college basketball off the NHL, off the UFC, off the mat a little bit, and MLB off some of these big ones. But if you had a sport you had an eye on, you say, okay, here's an opportunity for you to gain some market share. And they say, hey, they're going to bring you in as the commissioner. You know, which sport would you do and how would you do it? All right, we're going to start with the youngin'. I don't know if he even thought about it. Darnell, have you thought about a sport?
Do you have to ask?
Okay.
You have to. You already know what sport I'm taking.
I go in and tell us, because they've been struggling. They've been missing a note when I thought they were going to kill it.
Man. I'm going to monopolize boxing. I'm going to take all four decision bodies. They're all going to be one. And we're all going to be under ESPN, right? I'm going to take over top rank, and I'm going to monopolize all decision bodies. And I'm going to make everybody fight each other. There ain't going to be no more of this. We talk about a fight for 3 or 4 years, and it doesn't happen. That is killing the sport of boxing. And the demise of boxing is a major reason why UFC is thriving the way that it is. Like you said, Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal did more pay-per-view-wise in this fight than Wilder 1 and Wilder 2 combined. That's for real. Like, the fan base for the UFC is growing, and the fan base of boxing is decreasing. Why? Because these fights don't happen. Wilder and AJ didn't happen. Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, so far, didn't happen. Gary Russell, Leo Santa Cruz, it didn't happen. Lomachenko, Gervonta Davis, it didn't happen. These fights are not happening. And even if they do happen, like Mayweather and Pacquiao, they happen like two or three years too late. Which is, they're waiting until they pass their prime. It's going to happen with Errol Spence, going to happen with Terrence Crawford. When they fight each other, Terrence Crawford going to be like 34, 35. Errol Spence is going to be coming off of a tough fight where he just had surgery on his teeth and stuff. And it's not going to be the same as it would have been if they fought in 2017. So I'm going to monopolize boxing. I'm going to promote it right. These guys are going to get endorsement deals. They're going to be on TV, on commercials and stuff. Why don't you see Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford be endorsed by Nike? How come they're not in any Gatorade commercials?
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with boxing. And if you allow me to take over the game like Don King, I bet I'll save you.
Yeah, you're right. You got Ryan Garcia. You got he's got the tremendous following. He's a model, but you don't see him doing – he should be doing all kinds of commercials. You're hitting it right on the head. Hank.
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do, okay? Because you've got such a bad infection rate here in the United States. You can't travel here because you don't have any regulations because of the pandemic. So I'm going to take my game north, and I'm going to promote the CFL. That's what I'm going to do. I'm bringing the CFL here. It's going to be on Channel 7. Okay, we're going to have football. We're going to change some rules around so it looks like the NFL. We're going to make it four downs, okay? But we're going to have y'all watching the Ottawa Rough Riders. We're going to watch the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We're going to watch the Montreal Alouettes. We're going to be Toronto Argonaut fans right here on the East Coast. We're going to have some football. I'm going to have a Florida lead on my thing, but it's going to be from Winnipeg. That's what I'm going to do right now, okay? Canadian football on NBC.
I love it. Okay, you can only get this up. That's right. You can only get it on RSG. Look at his creativity. I love it, y'all.
Yes, sir.
You do it. Woo! That's a great one. I didn't even put it. Oh, I love it. Wow. 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 All right, Amber.
I want to be the Black Dana White, man. I mean, I want to have that type of power, and also I want to get the UFC channel. They should have their own channel. Forget about ESPN. You don't need a mothership anymore. You need your own channel now. You need to be like I said, the MLB Network, but on steroids. I mean, you look at why, I mean, Brother Donnell talked about UFC compared to boxing. The reason why UFC is thriving compared to boxing is because the guys actually look normal. They look like you can actually look at these brothers and be like, that could be me. To a certain extent. You look at these guys like Wilder and Fury, I mean, 6'9", what, 350 and 300? I mean, those guys are just like, again, mutants almost. So, I mean, give me UFC, give me the hammer, the commercial hammer, and give me that power. I mean, I love the fact that Dana White basically is the king of the UFC. Ain't no negotiating. Ain't no, we're going to do it this way. We're going to have Fight Island. But the thing they need a channel, man. That's what they need. Now they're going to perfume a channel. A
so
UFC
you found a
channel.
Loophole in my thing. You said, so you said you're going to take, I said, no, UFC, but you said you're going to try to just move them to a channel. So you found a loophole in my instructions. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. That's a Stanford.
I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. You expect me to do that. I mean, I'm a lawyer. I mean, man, I mean,
what
give me credit,
D. Wells. I love it. I love it.
So it was UFC champ.
Mine definitely would have been boxing as Darnell went in. I just think that boxing is underperforming. It had a great, I think, a fight last night that as a, boxing's not even managing the protocols correctly. Like, they have a central place, but unlike the UFC, and they, I mean, Top Rank can at least manage. I don't even have a sense. They're not imagining the protocols.
Everybody's testing positive.
Huh?
I said everybody's testing positive. Jermell Herron tested positive twice.
Yes.
They rescheduled this fight and me tested positive again.
Yes, and I'm like, you're all of the Top Rank roof. Like, you're basically Dana White of Top Rank. You should be control. You should be in a control of that environment. They can't even get that right.
And they can't even get Terrence Crawford to fight. And he's over there talking about, man, if y'all try to get me to take a pay cut, I ain't fighting.
He said we gotta have fans because you know that's the business model. Without the fans, that's the money. That's the gate. I need a part of that gate. So yeah, well, thank y'all for doing it. Well, hey, we're gonna keep thinking about models. We're gonna keep pushing it. We're gonna keep looking at the stuff. There's a lot to be said. You know I said about a month and a half ago about college football going in the spring. You know, I seen him be out there on the island by myself, but it's that choir is getting louder. Well, Canada, like Hank, if they're going to get their football. All right, we're going to drop the mic. We're going to go to our brother Hank Davis to drop it and take us home.
All right, thank you, guys. Listen, I was doing some thinking today. What was I going to drop the mic about? You know, the news has just been absolutely inundated with COVID-19, this, that, and the other thing. So, and sports is really, all the sports leagues are itching to get back on the ice, the field, the court. So the question I have for everybody out there tonight is, are you ready for the first 2020 champion? How you gonna feel about the first 2020 champion? Okay, what if it's the NHL, the Stanley Cup champion? How you gonna feel about that? Or the baseball champion? How you gonna feel about that? You didn't get a chance to go watch a game at the stadium. You didn't get – half the players don't even get a chance to play. Somebody's going to test positive. Nobody's going to be in the stands. But somebody's going to win the championship. You know, I thought about this a minute. Close your eyes. Turn on your PlayStation, okay? You got the Chicago Cubs, or you got a team that you've made up, and they've won a championship. Do you go out and buy you a world championship T-shirt with the PlayStation champion on it? Because that's what it's gonna be like this year. Because it's not gonna be a roar of the crowd. Everybody's gonna be watching it just like you are. Only difference between the 2020 champion and the PlayStation champion, you ain't got the joystick in your hand. Think about that.
They got a great training staff. They were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And you can do that.